The Around the NFL Podcast. Does it slip in the shower?
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
What's happening?
Let's hear it for the boys.
I always enjoy how the opening of the show, the tone of Dan's voice, you can tell if either the Patriots have lost or the Jets have won that day. We know the Jets are out, done for the season, so one of those things happened.
Yes. Well, spoiler alert. Yeah, the Patriots lost on Sunday. And as I promised, Greg, I'm not being a jerk. I never rubbed anything in. Everybody, I was getting a ton of tweets. Oh, you must be really giving it to Greg right now. What am I, a effing monster? No, I don't do that. That's the fan code. You don't do that.
Well, sometimes people do it. But if we had to tape this,
well, they're monsters.
Right after the game, then, you know, I'd be a little surlier. The emotions are raw. But we had that entire beat down by the Panthers to watch for
right.
Four
well,
hours.
And also you're not
as a cool down.
You're not invested.
Admittedly, you're not really like I was crushed when the Jets lost a regular season game to miss the playoffs. Like 8 hours later, you're already kind of over it. I
you
can
seem
tell.
To take it very well.
Nobody well, really that cares. It's all a facade. It's all on the inside. I was
like, you're gonna go home and like shed tears.
Well, no. At this point, I've started to move on. But the during the game,
it's like 2 hours after the game.
It's 4 or 5, right? But it's the tightness during the game and the tension during the game and the pain during the game is real. That's about as painful a loss as there's been.
Those are, again, foreshadowing clouds rolling into yeah. Foxborough and some storms.
I've pushed down some of that fandom, but once you get to the Final Four, I mean, these are kind of the games where you can't help.
You're playing with house money.
When you're this close.
Have I mentioned, by the way, that this podcast is presented by Scott Trade.
Wow. No. Good tease.
Scott Trade. You like money, Wes?
I need more of it, but yes. I like the little that I have.
Wes, I'm trying to get a catchphrase going here. You like money, Wes?
Absolutely.
You want more of it?
No question.
Hey, call up my friend, Scott.
Hey,
Trade.
Scott.
Nailed
well,
it.
That's how you get more money. There you go, Wes.
Bang.
How long were you
That's
working?
What I've been missing out on all
wow.
along. Okay. Scott Trade.
Mark, you've been quiet so far. Tough day for you, obviously. We'll get into it. Big day for Peyton Manning. Your Pats go out. You know.
Well, all of that is incorrect. I mean, I thought they were – I was expecting two classics, especially the late game, and we can get into it, but that game was a stinker. So, you know.
The late game, it just shows we don't know anything. I think everyone in our predictions, I think they were all high-scoring one-point games, basically. I think Mark – Wes and I had 31-30 with a flip and who would win. Mark saw an 88-yard Cam Newton touchdown run in overtime to win it. Greg stopped doing picks, so I don't remember what
no,
he said.
No, I picked the Cardinals in a close one.
But that game was anything but close. We'll get to that, obviously. So we're going to get to the New England-Denver game. We'll get to the Carolina-Arizona game. We will check in on our prop bets that we made on Thursday, our Thursday
we're
show.
We're calling our Go Get My Lunch.
Go Get My
prop.
Lunch, you human garbage. and then we'll peek ahead at the Super Bowl. There's 2 weeks. Until the game. And, of course, we will, as a group, be going to San Francisco, hashtag blessed. So, you know, Mark disgusted by me right now.
What are you talking about?
You just
about?
Rolled your eyes at me.
I don't know if that, you know, hashtag this is our job. This is what we do. We just roll in and do our job.
Gotcha. All right. So,
Mark has a simmering low-level disgust for something right now. I don't know what it is.
Get it
I
off
think
your chest,
the
Mark.
Overanalysis, which is also incorrect, is a problem. We're 8 minutes into the show. Let's start analyzing things correctly.
All right. That's fair. So let's get into it.
Please.
We're going to get to the bottom of this by the end
what?
Of the
I'm
by the
fine.
End of the show.
I mean, I don't understand why, you know, the nitpicking is going on already. Let's just get into the games.
All right.
We're great. Sort of.
We'll start at Mile High. And a game in which the New England Patriots, the defending Super Bowl champions, entered this game as favorites. All four of us, for instance, picked the Pats to win the game. But immediately, gentlemen, things didn't play out the way a lot of people expected. The Broncos scored two quick first-half touchdowns, taking advantage of some shoddy play from Tom Brady, but it wasn't really on Tom Brady necessarily, at least not completely. He took a beating in this game, a savage beating. In fact, he was hit 20 times in this game, sacked a bunch, pressured into throws, the Denver defensive line and secondary, really, son of bum, Wade Phillips deserves a lot of credit. They got the job done. And then, near the end of the game, after the Broncos offense, Greg sputtered out. It gave Tom Brady one last chance at the end of the game. He leads the Patriots down the field, converts a 4th and 10 to Rob Gronkowski. I mean, what an amazing play
that was.
That's
one of the best plays of Brady and Gronk's career.
Absolutely. And, you know, even as a Tom Brady hater like myself, how can you not respect the guy for what he was able to do? Gets him in the red zone, then hooks up again with Gronk on a play where Gronk just showed off why he's a man amongst boys. Then they need the two-point conversion. They can't convert the two-point conversion, and that was it. Onside kick recovery by Denver. 2018, the Broncos going to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years, and the Pats going home. Chris Wessling, get us going. Your thoughts about this game, which did not play out how we or a lot of other people thought.
When's the last time you saw three players combine for 15 quarterback hits? Von Miller owned Marcus Cannon. Derek Wolfe has started to channel J.J. Watt over the last month, and DeMarcus Ware had 7 hits on Tom Brady. It was an incredible performance by the Broncos defense. I doubted that they were still dominant, and they showed today that this was the best game they've played since September on defense, I think.
And I talked about it this week, that the players are there to have that sort of performance that they've shown. I always think with a great team who's shown greatness and the players are there, they always have a potential to have that sort of game. And you said it, that's exactly what happened. 15 quarterback hits, that's the most any team has had in the NFL this year before this game. And that's what just those three players had. And what it ended up with, 20, you wrote about it. That's the most since Charlie Fry got hit 20 times 10 years ago.
So, by the Ravens.
So,
and you got to give Tom Brady credit. He's a 38-year-old man. He's been playing this league for 16 years. To even survive this game just shows you what a competitor he is. That's a beating.
Well, survive it. And that's one reason why it hurt so much. One is they could have won this game. I think you get to a neutral field. I would have loved to see what they could do against Carolina. Just what a game that could have been. But the thing is, they get into scoring position 3 times in the last 7 minutes. So they were knocking on the door. The 1 4th down doesn't work. They get down there again, stopped again on the 4th and 1. And then they get down again with one of the best plays in Brady's career to Gronk. And then a total miracle play by Gronk on 4th and 6 at the goal line, and suddenly you're within 2 points and you're that close to what would have been maybe the most epic comeback or finish in Brady's career. And there's been a lot. I mean, they had that right there on the table.
Yeah, but I also think this game completely revealed a Patriots team that is too banged up. Their offensive line was a nice story. You're shuffling players around more than any team in the NFL. But what they did last week, which was come out with a quick pass attack and essentially scrap the run game, you can't do that against this defense. And we all picked the Patriots, but we weren't disrespecting Denver's defense during the week. And there were questions about, can Brady repeat what they did against the Chiefs this time? And absolutely not. The Chiefs have a good pass rush. They never got to him. Completely different story today. I mean, we watched Marcus Cannon get turnstiled over and over by Von Miller, who was dominant today. Absolutely.
It went beyond the pass rush. You're seeing some of these plays right now. Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola got crushed on slants and crossing routes by T.J. Ward and Darian Stewart. And then even Shiloh Keough had a big hit.
Well, Shiloh Keough was a big part of the final play, and we might as well talk about that now because I thought it was a fitting end to the game. Tom Brady made a bad decision because pressure came quickly in his face. DeMarcus Ware was coming after him, and then Brandon Marshall, the linebacker, was coming after him, and he decided to throw across his body to Julian Edelman. Now, I think Patriots fans and Tom Brady, when they see the all 22 of that play, you see Rob Gronkowski getting single covered by Shiloh Keough. And you see Rob Gronkowski with a whole lot of grass in front of him running to the side of the pylon. And Phil Simms totally botched it. So people, I think, missed it when he was talking about the replay. But that's one of those just what-if type of moments that if Brady, his vision had just kind of go to his secondary receiver, which was Gronk, maybe he makes that play.
Well, what about the what-if moments where he kept missing James White, and James White is culpable for what were essentially sort of drops or wasn't there on target?
I mean, he has to make those plays.
It was one play after the next.
But that's part of the problem when you're targeting a limited player like James White on deep balls down the sideline. I mean, you can't expect him to make all those plays. And by the way, let me just go back to the two-point conversion.
Yep.
Greg, you had that freeze-framed on your screen at your desk. So before we completely write off Greg as a Pats fan, that was sticking with him hours after the game. You see Gronk single-teamed in your dreams, don't you?
I do. I mean, I froze it because I wanted people to see. It just seemed like it got lost in the shuffle right there, that they had a chance on that play to make a little history, to send it to overtime. Wouldn't have that been delicious? But the Broncos, in to the James White play, some of those plays didn't work because Brady had to throw the ball too quickly, too.
They didn't.
And that's on the pass rush. It was a mirror. It's amazing that the Patriots, for everything that went wrong in this game, outgained Denver by 90 yards and were in that position to take a lead in the fourth quarter.
Well,
I mean, it's amazing that they believed James White was by far their best offensive option at that point. And
yeah,
they kept going.
One-on-one with a linebacker.
It's amazing.
He has to make that play.
It's amazing, but it's also part and parcel of what we talked about with the Broncos, which their offense is not the reason they're in the Super Bowl on any level, and they're going to have to find a way for their defense to neutralize Cam Newton in that Carolina attack, because it was the Denver offense that had chance over and over in the fourth quarter to end this thing, and they kept giving the ball back to Brady one time after the next. If you're a Broncos fan, that is concerning. It was maddening to watch that. They played scared offense.
I think they definitely took the air out of the ball. Peyton Manning has done a great job over the last 2 weeks not killing the team with mistakes, and I think I'm the Broncos coaching staff, we got two touchdowns out of Peyton in the first half. We think we've scored enough points to let the defense hold it up. We are not going to do anything to let this game slip away because our quarterback made a mistake. That's how it seemed to me. I would be a little nervous still if I'm a Broncos fan because the offense did nothing in the second half. We'll get more into Peyton's first half in a second. Greg, what were you going to say?
Well, just that they're the best closers in the NFL. You know, we can say they're lucky, but they've beaten playoff team after playoff team in the fourth quarter. They're a good team with the lead, I believe, because they're a running game and because of their defense, and that lets the pass rushers go. And that's why Bill Belichick took the ball first, because they're such a good team with the lead. The Patriots wanted to get out on top. So I think Gary Kubiak, when he's got a lead, is thinking, we're going to, like you said, make sure we don't make a mistake. And if we, you know, we're just going to be very conservative. If we happen to give up a lead, we're only going to be down, what, 2 or 3 points, and we've shown we can make that comeback.
Well, they might be the best closers in the AFC. I'm not the NFL. I mean, what about the
Carolina
Panthers?
They're the best tight game.
They almost handed this game away.
They have 11 wins by 7 points or less.
That's what I'm
saying. The most in NFL history.
That's what I'm saying. Is whether you can say it's a little lucky, but whatever you want to call it, mojo, they believe they're going to win close games because they do it every single time.
You weren't concerned, though, by the offense going 3 and out over and over.
They just won the AFC. What's there to be concerned about?
I'm asking from a next game when you play a team like the Panthers.
We haven't even mentioned their special teams. They were dominant on special teams against the Steelers. That was the difference in that game. And then today, Gostkowski misses the extra point while McManus has hit drilling 52-yard field goals. And the field position, how many drives did Brady start in the shadow of his own goal line?
That Gostkowski miss, and this will be the season, the first season where they move back the post. You know, he doesn't miss that if it's the old rules. So, in a way, Greg, the new rules directly led to your boys going home. Conspiracy?
Well, I always liked this rule until now. Now I don't like it. No, I'm kidding. But Gostkowski had hit 55 extra points this year.
He hadn't missed one since December 31st, 2006.
523.
But that was blocked. But that wasn't the same extra point. So you can really only talk about this year's extra point. But that was 50-plus. So that's a pretty big sample size. The odds on him missing that, and he said after the game, you know, put it all on me.
And with Peyton Manning, I think the way I look at it, what he deserves a lot of credit for is basically when they turned the team over to Brock Osweiler, they wanted to give it to a young guy who was a little more mobile, maybe had, you know, more upside at this point. And it was like, you know, make some plays, don't kill us, and then we'll trust the rest of our team, defense and special teams. And to Kubiak's credit, he gave the team back to Peyton, hoping Peyton would play ball on this and take the step back and become just the supporting player. And that's exactly what Manning's done. I give him a ton of credit because I don't think a guy like Brett Favre could have ever done this. I don't know if there's a lot of star quarterbacks that could really become a bit player the way Manning is and be okay with the fact that they weren't giving him a chance to close out that game in the second half. And he did make the plays in the first half. I mean, that first drive, that looked like old Peyton lead, and that dictated the flow of the entire game. He missed Emmanuel Sanders before that second touchdown pass, but then threw a really pretty ball to Owen Daniels, who was supposed to be eradicated by Vernon Davis, by the way. That didn't work out. Jamie Collins is going to have nightmares about Owen Daniels, of all people. So Peyton, at the end of the day, legacy game, by the way, guys. We talked about this, like who this loss would hurt more for. The reason why for, it kills Brady for me, because I think Peyton Manning now is 3-1, and this is not all quarterback, but 3-1 quarterback, a 3-1 in the AFC title game. It's still 11-6, I believe, overall. But to win three of the four title games, that's big when you look back down the line. I really think that means something for Manning, and it's a big picture of this.
I think if you're a Broncos fan, you can talk yourself into being somewhat excited about Peyton Manning. You mentioned that opening drive, which looked like 2013 Manning, and I thought his mobility was better today than it's been all year.
Absolutely. And
scrambled for a first down.
When I was saying, is that a concern? To me, it's like that's missing the point. We'll get to that, and we'll that'll play out. But today, they're the AFC champions. You know, today, you a week ago, you guys were saying I didn't even believe the fact that this was a tough matchup for them. That I didn't even believe my own talking that this was not the matchup they wanted to see because the Broncos' defense was so good.
Greg was right.
I owe you an apology. Everything you said about this game was true. That the Patriots' offensive line was a major concern.
It's a terrible matchup for them.
The Broncos' defensive line was incredible, and then you mentioned the concerns about the Patriots' running game, and you were dead on about all of it.
And my point on Manning was, I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, we never know what's going to happen, but it's a great achievement to win the AFC. You guys are fans.
Four times.
You guys are fans of teams. Like, winning the AFC is a huge moment, and especially this team in particular that's just so different, and like you mentioned with Osweiler, it's a great moment in Peyton Manning's history, no matter what
justifies happens. Kubiak's decision. I mean, he got killed when Osweiler was benched, and a lot of people were scratching their heads, and it worked because Manning played well enough to help this team win.
Well, Kubiak handled it well by never closing the door on either of his quarterbacks. Greg, you were right. You were right on all accounts.
I didn't want to be right
about
this
entire game. You were completely right.
Good. That's what I figured it out, by the way.
That's not true.
Mark, you're covering the AFC in the Super Bowl, aren't you?
Oh.
Yeah.
You're covering Peyton Manning, the man you thought would be completely wiped off the face of the earth.
No, but I asked to, and I said that honestly, that we're
Manning. But that's why you're a little upset today.
No, because we're Manning in this game. I asked to cover it because whether or not you think I like Peyton Manning, it's historical.
No, you don't like Peyton Manning.
It's absolutely historical. I'm not going to begrudge what he did today. I mean, what I don't necessarily like is the idea of people framing this as Brady versus Manning. We're not doing that in this studio. We never have. And so that's fine. I mean, it is the rest of Denver's team that are playing a big – there's four or five factors on the Broncos that are playing a much bigger role than Peyton Manning. His job is to not make mistakes, and you're absolutely right. He's not been a malcontent or been a late-period Brett Favre where it's all about him. That's not been the case with Manning, so he deserves credit for that.
Well, this game is a great example of that it's not – it is a team game because clearly the Patriots have the advantage overall at quarterback, but Brady made bigger mistakes early. I mean, the two interceptions that he had were on Brady.
His passes were way more off than Manning's today.
I mean, his interceptions killed them in the first half. He doesn't make those mental mistakes. They would have a better chance to make the comeback, and when he played well in the second half. And then, like you mentioned, it's a team sport. Derek Wolfe was incredible. Von Miller, who I said hasn't necessarily been playing at that J.J. Watt level, had an all-time type of game.
By the way, Greg, I don't know if you're interested. We looked I checked in with Foxborough. I got a feed over there.
It's trouble.
I wanted to check in, just see what's going on over at the old Throne of Sleaze on a very difficult day in the region of New England. Brandon, do we have that? Okay, seems okay. Oh, no.
That's worse than before.
Oh, no. Wow. That's troubling.
Oh.
Wait, that feels like that's just not a sports story at that point.
Right. No, that's
a massive body count.
That's a major national story.
International. There's probably hundreds of people dead in that region.
Millions, maybe. To be honest. New England's not, you know, it's not just Massachusetts. A lot of upset Patriots fans tonight, Greg. But you know what? You Pats fans, and I started to see it again. By the way, all the Pats fans, very quiet today. Didn't hear much in my timeline
How you like
today.
That?
I was
respectful.
Well,
that was like 3 hours of having your nails pulled off.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, because
from minute one, that was a tough
game. They have a lot of fun when they're winning, and I didn't hear anything from them today. But, you know.
That's how that works.
That's how it works, I guess.
That's how it works. They were going for the back-to-back championship again. I mean, that would have been cool. But you gotta, I gotta go back to you know what I said last year, that it was all gravy after the fourth.
Does it, as a Pats fan, does the 3-1 title game thing bother you? Be honest.
Yeah, a little. Not about the title game. I mean, who cares? That's a weird line to pull. You could say playoff wins, because to me, the divisional round game in 2003, when they were the best two teams in the entire NFL and they stomped the Colts, you're excluding that. So that's a weird one to exclude.
I'm not like, it's so not it's weird. It's the highest level of AFC playoff play. And while Peyton Manning in his head-to-head matchups has faltered, typically in that high spot, his team.
I never really
better.
Bought into that when it was the Brady Manning thing, because Brady had a much better team. I never bought into it when it helped Brady. And now, like right now, we're at a point where Brady's a much better player. The thing that bothers me more than anything is how close they were in this game to getting back to another. And I think this is a really good, it's a really good Patriots defense. I mean, the Broncos had 15 drives. I think they would have had a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Well, there you go.
It's over.
You're okay, though. What I'm saying is,
okay, now.
You got all the wins in the bank. You got the four titles.
That helps.
You've even said it was gravy going into the season.
Yeah, but once you get to the final four, then that's thrown out of the window.
See, now you know what it's like to be a Yankee fan,
close.
By the way. That's now you know. All you Red Sox fans, all through the years, that's what it's like.
Are you
still
attempting
win.
To drive pity for Yankees fans or something?
No, I'm saying no one should pity a Yankee fan.
Right.
Just like nobody should pity a Patriots fan. But for a year, I'm not going to get
you
into
it. You don't play,
it.
I forgot. The Von Miller interception was one of the most amazing. The fact that he did that before all the QB hits.
It's a great player, dog.
It's one of the best big game defensive game performances I can ever remember.
His 2.5 sacks are the most in a single game in Broncos playoff history.
I'm a little bit nervous about Von Miller on media.
Ooh, I like him.
And
like
in general, you know, a whole week of the media. I don't know if he'll.
Oh, he is the least of our problems.
Who do you think is the biggest problem?
Like 20 players on Carolina's roster.
I think the other journalists acting like barnyard animals at Super Bowl Media Day. That's the biggest concern.
The worst place to ever put Chris. I don't even know why.
The
was
West
sending him to
beat writer heat is going to be off the charts again.
I'm still mad at Al Leiter.
Media night.
Can you just? Yeah, it's a night this year. Can you please don't even send West? It's just going to aggravate him.
I can handle it.
You can?
I can handle it.
We'll have a maybe.
What was your Al Leiter story? This is the New York Super Bowl. Al Leiter is a former baseball pitcher who now works for the Yankee Regional Network. Yes. What happened?
He muscled his way to the front of the line. Everybody's been waiting for 20 minutes to talk to No-Shawn Marino, and Al Leiter big times everyone, pushes his way through, sticks the microphone in his face like he's the most important guy at the place just because, oh, I throw left-handed. Come on, give me a break.
I love that maybe story just because it gets Wes so – the only thing that gets Wes more irrationally
Wes.
Angry is when his cord starts annoying him. Like, watch, if you're watching on YouTube.
Don't put it back there.
Look, he starts to freak out. Look at him freak.
Don't put it back there. Hey, look, Al Leiter's just representative of all the rude reporters who are there and don't need to be there.
I'll have Wes write a 10 things that drove me crazy at media.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
That's good. Post.
I think you might be 25 things that drove me crazy. Mm.
So there you go. That is the AFC Championship game. Let us now move to the NFC side. This game was played in Charlotte. Home field advantage for the Panthers, of course, who are 9-0 going into this game in their building. Make it 10-0. The Panthers romp the Arizona Cardinals, yes, the team of around the NFL, 49-15 a game. And just like last week against Seattle, Carolina jumped out to a fast start, went up 17-0, went into the half up 24-7, and then didn't look back, poured it on in the second half, scoring 25 more points. No tight butts in this game. And the story of the game, yes, Cam Newton, just as he's done all year, every time you turn up the lights, he shines brighter. I mean, he is a special guy having a special season. 4 touchdowns, but there's always goat horns. Carson Palmer, this will be a hard one to shake for Carson Palmer. 4 interceptions, 2 lost fumbles. That is 6 turnovers. 6 of the 7 Cardinals turnovers, guys. So Cardinals blown out, had their worst game of the season when they really needed to play their best. And the Carolina Panthers, the superior team to, again, once again, our surprise. We all thought it'd be close. But Mark Sessler, the Panthers are the best team in the NFC, and I guess it wasn't close.
Yeah, it wasn't close. I mean, I, for one, am stunned. I picked an overtime game And I really thought it would be. I thought that Arizona, after what happened in Seattle in Week 17 and after having to get over the hump against Green Bay, would be locked on, because that's how they've been week after week all season. But really, Carolina right now is so tuned in that I'm not sure anyone could have gone in there and touched them today. This game, at the end of the first quarter, we knew it was over.
Yeah, they boat raced a bunch of teams in the second half of the season, and I thought this was their most complete game of the year, coming against the second-best team in the NFL. And they, not only does Cam play great and kind of entrenched himself as the MVP, thoroughly outplaying Carson Palmer, but the defense forcing six turnovers on the opposing quarterback.
Well, that's this thing. The secondary loses Roman Harper during the game. They lose Thomas Davis too at linebacker during the game. And yet they're shutting down Larry Fitzgerald and John Brown and Michael Floyd to a combined 80 yards. The coverage is great. Kaywon Short is forcing a fumble. Luke Kuechly is getting a pick six. The offensive line is giving Cam Newton all day to throw. Corey Brown, in what I think was the biggest play of the game, you know, makes a defender miss, goes 86 yards. Ted Ginn's
making Corey Brown.
Everyone on this team had a hand in them being dominant. Halfway through the game, we were talking about what we're going to write about, and Chris was thinking, well, we might not even – he wasn't thinking that it was that special of a Cam Newton game necessarily at that point, because the rest of the team had done so well. It was just like an everything Panthers game, and that's what this team has been right now. Top to bottom, they've been the best.
It's one of those things where it's hard to picture them losing again. I mean, and we'll have 2 weeks to figure out – who we think's going to win or what kind of game it's going to be. But doesn't it just feel like we're witnessing like a potentially special team that's maybe one decisive win in February away from really putting himself up there? Like, when you want to talk about the best teams of the Super Bowl era, maybe we talk about the Panthers in that, you know, maybe they're in the top five discussion, because this has been really, since the midpoint of the season, a team that is just kicking everybody's ass. Taking is it no numbers, or you take numbers?
No names.
You what do you do with the numbers?
Well, that, like,
I don't know the numbers of that. What,
don't need the numbers.
At like a sandwich shop, you take a number.
Yeah.
You wait.
They don't need numbers, because
they
just
take no prisoners.
Yeah, take no prisoners, and if take some numbers, then throw the numbers on the ground. Who cares? Because they're just destroying everyone, and these are good teams. That was the Seahawks team, a proud champion that they hung a 31 burger, Greg, on. Your arms wide open in one half.
Not a burger at 31.
Okay. And then this thing, the Cardinals, we love the Cardinals. They were the team of around the NFL.
We can't even play it. Is there a sad version of it?
That's depressing right now.
And they made them look like a bunch of chumps. I mean, this is a special Panthers team.
Not just a special Panthers team, but a special season for Cam Newton. And he's an unstoppable force of nature, best exemplified by those back-to-back plays where he carried Chris Clemens for a first down.
Oh, that was sick. No other quarterback in the league
Absolutely.
Is getting first down.
And then he's diving over the goal line for a touchdown, Superman style, as the home crowd is chanting MVP. It was just – I think that just was a defining moment for him this season.
First and goal on that dive, and they run it twice. And I'm thinking to myself, you have the greatest goal line quarterback that has ever lived. And smartly, they then call his number. And he does that thing where he jumps, and he's so big and so athletic that you think he's not in. Then they show the replay, and his, like, 14-foot arms are, like, basically at the back of the pylon or whatever. It's, like, amazing what this guy can do.
On that stiff arm play, though, that is not – that's what Arizona has been doing in multiple ways to other teams all year, which has been a Bruce Arians aggressive, beat-you-up type club. And today, they looked completely lost. But it goes back to one thing. You're going to go on the road in the playoffs. Anytime your quarterback is going to have a day like Carson Palmer did, I don't care what team. You could put the 85 Bears against this Panthers team, and they would have got waxed. You cannot turn the ball over that much. Palmer's had a bad couple weeks.
Well, yeah. As we now know for sure, like, all the warning signs last week, it was all there for us against. And then when he faced higher competition on the road, it was a complete implosion. I mean, four picks, two lost fumbles. Bruce Arians, after the game, and it was very weird. It's so weird to see them be embarrassed and have Bruce Arians talk and be humbled the way he was. He made it very clear he did not want to hang the loss on his quarterback, even though that's how history is going to remember it. Here is what Bruce Arians had to say.
Carson didn't lose the damn game. Nothing wrong with his damn finger. You can keep all them questions. We just didn't play well enough. Our best players especially didn't play well enough.
Wes, that last line directly connects with the post you wrote after the game.
Right. Carson Palmer had the 6 turnovers. He had the jitters again, too, it looked like. And then Patrick Peterson with the costly muff fumble when they had just scored, had a chance to take some momentum and close it to within a 1-score game if they were able to take that next drive. That was a huge fumble by Peterson. And then even Larry Fitzgerald, who Arians raved, great players play great in big games, and they flourish in the moment. He had 2 drops. He had 1 drop over the last 2 years combined. I think their great players kind of shriveled in the moment.
Right, and that's why, as bad as Palmer was, they were never going to win, like Mark said. But it's also hard to even put it on Palmer when it's 17-0 after the first quarter, and the Arizona defense gives up 500 yards today. So it wasn't just, okay, they're getting a short field, or okay, Luke Kuechly gets a pick 6. They're putting up 17 points in the first quarter. They're moving the ball up and down the field, and the Arizona pass rush was a huge problem. I think they were a little afraid to get aggressive and blitz like crazy because Carolina was going to hit him deep. But when they didn't blitz, they had all day to throw. Even when they did blitz, they protected it up well on a couple of the big plays. No matter what they did, they couldn't get at Cam Newton. And when he has time, he's just going to rifle it there. So it was everything that the Cardinals did that didn't work. It wasn't just Palmer.
Yeah, I mean, this game to me felt like when you go back to that string of 1980s, early 1990s Super Bowl, where a great team would come out of the AFC, teams like those high-scoring Bills teams, or teams like some of the Broncos teams, the Elway-led ones, where 15 minutes into the Super Bowl, forget everything you thought you knew, the game was over. There were so many big games like that that got completely out of control. This game is not exemplary for what the Cardinals are or what they would be if they played another 10 times. Everything just got out of hand in this game.
Or if they played in Arizona, and that shows why the regular season is so big. I didn't mention it with the Pats game, but I mean those 2 losses to end the season, especially the one to Miami, that you put that game in Foxborough, who knows what happens. Carolina won number 1 seed by going 15-1. I mean, they earned it. This game's in Arizona. Who knows if all that happens? They had a magical thing going in Carolina. They boat raced a lot of teams.
A lot of boat racing today.
Especially in the first half of these games. Every single home game, it was like a celebration. It was like the Cam weekly party in Carolina.
And that's going to anger some more housewives after another epic photo on the sideline. And I think 17-0 this game, they get it to 17-7. And Bruce Arians said it after the game. He thought the game got away in the period at the end of the second quarter, early third quarter. So they get the touchdown. They get, I believe, a 3-and-out, Arizona does, force the punt. Peterson muffs it. But then their defense makes a stand and gets an interception of Cam Newton, and they go back the other way, and now we're inside a minute in the first half. Carson Palmer forces one into the end zone when he had 2 timeouts, and they did not have to make that throw. It was intercepted, so that was a killer, and Rivera made a point to say that. And then coming out of the locker room in the third quarter, he said the defense needed to set the tone and take control of the game and find a way to slow them down, and instead they laid down, and all of a sudden the game's gone. All of a sudden it's 24-7, 31-7, and there's no coming back.
Yeah, it was an 8-minute drive to start the second half. I mean, every phase, how could you not be – so impressed and think about them as an all-time team. But I was trying to think of other teams that have had great playoff runs lately and have got us thinking that way. And I actually thought back to the season that the Panthers made the Super Bowl. That was the best Patriots team, I would say, in my lifetime in the playoffs. They came through a couple games where they played absolutely perfect. No one gave the Panthers any shot in that game against the Patriots. That was just looking like a team that was on such a roll, having beaten the Colts and the Steelers, I believe, who had been playing so well. And then, who knows? It ends up being a 3-point game. So you never know, and yet, I don't know. No one's going to be.
There's this weird image in my head of, like, forget all the analysis, all we've said about Peyton Manning, that in the end, this maybe just ends with him winning this game and going out in John Elway-like fashion.
Elway move with Elway.
I'm just saying there's
the
something that just sticks with
Pat
me.
Bowen.
I've been seeing it. Like, I just feel like maybe it doesn't all have to make sense in the end.
This no, Cam Newton year.
It
really does.
Boy, yeah, you want to talk about legacy, because suddenly he'd have as many Super Bowl wins as Manning, and we forget what we'd say about Peyton. It could be Cam Newton, but this is what makes this game interesting.
I'm picturing Peyton somehow winning the Super Bowl, like Mark's saying, and then Elway and Manning are on the podium with Terry Bradshaw or whoever, and they hand the trophy to Peyton, and then John Elway rips it out of Peyton's hand and holds it up and goes, "This one's also for John."
That is that's more probable than we realize, which
that's
is
not where
disturbing.
I thought you were going, but I like it.
I like John Elway just taking all the credit. Do we think, quick question, do we think the football gods will smite the Panthers for going for two up 40-15? Chris Wessling.
No, I don't even know why they would.
No.
Because they went for two up 40-15.
That was
Chris
great.
Wessling.
I loved it.
Play to win.
I loved it.
Oh.
If this is the NFL. Play to win.
If anything, the one problem I had with Ron Rivera all day is when right after that they got another pick six. You got to go for two again and get the 50 burger. That was a
you
chance.
Guys are gonna, a housewife is going to write about you guys in a second.
Just wouldn't have.
Bring it on.
As memorable as it was that they went for two the first time around, if you went for two twice in a minute, under 5 minutes left to get it to 50. It would have been one of the most – it would just would have been the most incredible. Why not? It's
Bruce
football.
Arians understands. He wouldn't have been offended by that.
We got to – let's just double back again to the Shakespeare tragedy that was Carson Palmer's game because, I mean, I feel terrible for the guy. I really do. And there are a lot of people, Wes, we were talking about it downstairs, people in Cincinnati, I'm sure, that don't feel like anybody should feel bad for Carson Palmer.
Oh, they can get
that's unfair.
It.
To say
maybe some ex-girlfriends at USC.
Bengals fans are saying, we've seen this all before. This is the Carson Palmer. You can't blame him for getting his ACL torn up in one game.
Right.
And then the next game, he's playing through an elbow injury. This idea that Carson Palmer has been the same player over the last 5 years is untrue. He didn't even have a strong arm his last couple of years in Cincinnati because of that elbow.
Well, he also basically said he would retire than ever. But my point was that he said, I'll retire before I ever play for the Bengals.
I don't blame him.
He's an aging quarterback, and this is going to stick with him all off.
Right, it's going to be hard for him to shake this from his legacy because he still has just now one. He's 30. He's going to be 37 next year. Gifted guy. He's probably going to be in the top 10 in most relevant offensive categories when he retires. But not only does he now have just one playoff win as he heads into his twilight, he now has one of the worst. I mean, this is right up there, statistically anyway, with what Jake Delhomme did for the Panthers against the Cardinals 8 years ago.
Brian Hoyer,
Ryan Lindley a year ago. I mean, this was an embarrassing performance, and you feel bad for the guys. He had such a nice season, and it just gets marred by this. There's
not easy to get back here if you're the Cardinals. I mean, this is a season where really everything went right for them up until the last 24 hours.
Well, Dr. Seuss created a word for just this situation, Carson Palmer. Debaculous fiasco.
That's bad.
Oh, speaking of which, I did reach out to somebody over in the Carson Palmer Legacy Foundation, and I just wanted to get some comment for the podcast. This is what they had to say.
A thriving foundation.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
So, and then he hung up.
I wouldn't count the Cardinals out.
That was a big.
They're
gap.
Done.
Why are you moving on? That was a big get.
Dan, a tough time to place that phone
the
call.
The Legacy
but
Foundation
that was
guy.
That was the chairman. That was Carl Sassler, no relation to Mark, of the Carson Palmer
not.
Legacy Foundation, and you're just gonna glance over it.
That's
whatever.
That's like a nonprofit. He's available all the time.
Respect my bits, Greg. Come on. Let's get to the heart of this.
I didn't know it was ongoing.
That's gonna be a drop on gogetmylunch.org. Respect my bits, Greg.
All right, go ahead.
Says the guy who started that whole segment by going, I feel bad for Carson Palmer. But, oh, by the way, I'm setting up a huge bit that's going to
a little bit
mock
of
Ravio
Magnifico. All right.
Mock his very existence.
A little bit. A little bit.
Well, maybe it's my heartstrings talking here, because it was tough to watch the team of ATL go down like this, especially after the team of myself. Of Rosenthal goes down right before that.
Yeah, that's tough.
I want to believe that this team is loaded and that they would have a chance to come back next year. And they are pretty loaded. I mean, it's a different feeling than Denver, which is such a strange team to be in the Super Bowl where you like know the quarterback's going to change next year. 36 is not a death sentence. You're always going to be worried, though, no matter – it'll be like the Bengals were this year. If the Cardinals are 11-3, people are just going to say, yeah, well, but is Carson Palmer going to blow it in the playoffs? He basically is going to have to get
Sandy
back
Galton, now.
And erase that.
That's a fair assessment.
And Mark, Mark made the good point, which is you never want to not win the championship in your season where everything went right. Everything seemed primed for this to be Arizona's year. For it to end this way, it's just like you must be looking up at a mountain. And, you know, Arians said it after the game. It's, you know, their whole thing is Super Bowl or bust now. And that comes with a lot of weight, too. When you come out and say that, when that's the doctrine within the organization, that if you don't have the confetti falling on you, you basically blew it. That's a lot. You know, they go into next season knowing that that's tough. That's
well,
a tough spot.
The problem is they ran into a team that had even more go right for them in Carolina. And so it was a tough year to be the second best team.
They need
NFC.
A pass rusher.
Well, not to mention they're stuck in a division with the most dominant team of the last 4 years and the potential future team of around the NFL, the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, stop that. Not in a million years.
I feel like we're going to be told by a shadowy league figure that they have to be our team of eight.
The Culver City Rams.
If that – Jeff Fisher from Culver City. If the Rams
really?
Are yeah. ever – yes, if the Rams are ever the team of around the NFL, you'll know that we sold out.
No, I think it could happen organically. If they got rid of Jeff Fisher and got a quarterback.
They're in our backyard, baby.
We have some, you know, listeners, I'm sure, from St. Louis. We can't do that to them.
Well, this is L.A.'s team for 49 years before they were in St. Louis.
All right.
They belong to L.A.
Dan has made a strong statement. I'm going to go along with our host.
Wait a second. Because you have teams that, out of principle, you'll never make the team of ATL. This is
right.
mine.
Why?
Against you and Greg. I'm declaring vengeance when it comes to the team of ATL.
This is by far the earliest team of ATL discussion ever.
Yeah, you're welcome for saving you three from the 49ers in week one when you guys were in love with
them. Oh, I did not. I was not on board with that.
Yeah, I was the only one who voted against it.
I don't believe that.
Check the tape.
All right. So that's the NFC Championship game wrap-up. Any final words on that game? I can't believe it happened the way it did. Poor Carson Palmer. What a hideous game. 6 turnovers?
It was awful.
Focus on the positive. It was Corey Brown's greatest moment.
Well, it's a sports writer's dream because, as you mentioned, by halftime we were like, Greg's doing this, Dan's doing this, Wes is going to write this, Mark is going to write this, everyone else is eating pizza. Have a nice time.
That's
I like the idea that the rest of the newsroom is just eating while we're working.
Well, I'm just saying that you know.
I think we've gotten maybe another candidate in the reasons for Mark's aggravation. He has not eaten in 17 hours.
I'm actually, I think the number one reason I feel am starting to feel aggravated is that I'm not aggravated, but I've been told 23 or 24 times that I am.
That would do the trick.
Thank you.
Well, usually we're pretty good when we sense it. That's all.
Yeah, you are.
Like,
I mean,
you know.
Today I would say I'm workmanlike, and I am doing my duties the best I can.
Fair
Let's
enough.
Forge on. Why are we discussing?
Fair enough. We'll leave it at that. I am looking forward to some glowing Peyton Manning pieces from Denver headquarters.
Well, I'm going to prove anyone that thinks that I am going to treat them in a different way or a negative way, I'm going to prove them all wrong. Because I don't go into a situation like this and not give the Sessler best, and it's going to be
a workmanlike effort.
That is exactly right. Wow, I'm not going to bury Peyton Manning.
Are you going to apologize to him when you see him?
For what?
You know, well, Wes should go with you that day.
For what? Suggesting that he wasn't as good as he could have been, or he's not the same quarterback for much of the year?
That's not
still true.
That's a rare writer move that nobody believed in me as a writer going into the game. Oh, I'm going to write some articles that are really positive, and for all the haters out there who said I couldn't do
it. That's right. It's already been advertised that I'm essentially going to write like 18, you know, killer hate pieces on Manning, not actually true on any level.
How about this? Like, believe Manning. I don't know.
I like the idea of eventually, Mark, getting to a point where every one of your stories has the headline with believe in it somehow. I like that.
All right.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about we made some prop bets, of course, as we do. Go get my lunch, filth bag.
Still working on a name.
I like it.
We had
a soundbite.
We had a name, and you know, our sponsor Scott Trade wouldn't know about. Wow, look! We also have a special graphic.
Oh, look at that!
Watching us on
Old Zeuser,
the old face of Go Get My Lunch. I like that. It's no gray in the hair back then.
We used to have another word in the title, and it was inappropriate. We certainly couldn't have attracted a sponsor like Scott Trade when we had.
It shows how we've grown,
and so we've been searching since then for a moniker to add to the end, and you're still searching.
We kowtow to sponsorship.
Sometimes we do that. Let's go over them now. Mark, you said that Peyton Manning and Tom Brady will throw at least 4 interceptions combined. Tom Brady threw 2. Peyton Manning did not throw an interception. You lost sandwiches to, I believe, the room.
To everyone. I mean, it was looking good. I was getting a lot of tweets. You know, because it was early that those picks came, and then all the turnovers dried up.
All right. So, Mark.
I'm paying.
0-3 there. Chris Wessling, the Cardinals trio of Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown, Michael Floyd, more total yards than the entire Denver offense. And Denver's offense did not light it up. 244 yards total.
Such a low number. Yeah. 15 drives, by the way. 15.
You'd think. That's 75 punts.
That's a game and a half, 15 drives.
Arizona, though, those three players only totaled 90 yards receiving.
Who took them up on it? Did I?
I think everybody did.
I think we all did.
Good.
Yeah, to the guy who tweeted me saying that didn't even make sense, why would you pick that? It made all the sense in the world. The Broncos have one of the worst offenses in the NFL this year, and the Cardinals have one of the best wide receivers.
Typical game, you would have won.
Take a hike, buddy.
It was an onion hanger. You know, that's a risky one.
You hung some
even on a day like today where they had not a very good day, you would have to have a big day from those three
right.
guys.
Right, if we just made predictable propositions, it would be a horrible game.
Yeah, you'd be a Dan.
So take a hike, tweeter.
Well, since you brought me up, I did not think mine would. Nobody took me up on it, but I remember Wes actually saying at the time that was a good one. Cam Newton will have more total touchdowns than Gronk, Edelman, and Amendola. I thought that the Panthers would score a lot of points. I thought the Patriots wouldn't score a lot of points.
You're right about that.
And it was 4-1, Cam Newton. But no one took me up on it, so I won no sandwiches.
I think we agreed with you.
Well,
statement, but we agreed.
Yeah, and I've realized Dan has gone next level. He realizes the way to win this game is to make picks that are heavy favorites. No one takes him up on it, and then it's a 0-0. He's going to win this round because he just went with a safe, easy, opposite of onion hanging type of pick.
Whatever, bro.
Never hangs his onions anymore.
No.
Doesn't matter to me.
The onions are...
He did
shelf.
When he had the photo behind him when he, you know,
yeah.
looked like a high school child with all completely
exactly.
dark black hair.
Greg, Carson Palmer will have more total yards. go ahead with your onion hangers. Have a fun time with it. Carson Palmer will have more total yards than Cam Newton. Final tally, 382 to 235.
Not good.
I took you up on that. Did you guys?
I think Mark did too, but I did not.
I may have. I mean, he almost threw more yardage to the Panthers than Cam Newton did.
So, final tally for this round. Old Zeuser goes 3-0.
Well, and he picked up some others too, right? Or no?
No.
Oh, that's right.
And what'd you do, Mark, then?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I lost the one, and I think
you
went I won.
0-3, and then you won.
But I won
two.
This one and two. So what?
You went 2-3.
2-3. It's a terrible.
You were 1-3, I believe, Wes, because you didn't.
Correct.
Take.
I would have been 2-2. I would have escaped.
2-2.
Would have escaped without it.
What does that mean? I have to buy three sandwiches, and I'm bought two. I'd rather just buy one and not have any.
We'll just add it to the standings. Go, Nick Fortier. At gogetmylunch.org.
I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl version where Dan predicts the winning team has more points than the losing.
Wow.
You see your lead slipping away. Are you in first in this?
I think
you
so.
Are. I think I you are. Know.
We were in a virtual flatfoot tie.
There you go. We're all close.
Show some respect to the hard-charging Zeus.
It's been a tough day for me. I got to take what I can. Just
all-time standings.
Make fun of you.
Wes at 54-46, so now Wes, well, you guys can figure it out.
Yeah.
That is not compelling
great
radio.
TV right now. Great TV.
51-44, Zeus are now zooming up the power rankings. All right. Finally, before we get out of here, might as well take a quick peek ahead at the Super Bowl. Yes, the Denver Broncos, who are now 14-4. Is that correct?
Sure, yeah.
Against the 17 and one Carolina Panthers. And what I think, I'll start here, I think it will be a competitive Super Bowl because I do believe that Denver, now you get 2 weeks, you rest up, that defense got a ton of energy, a ton of confidence. I think they will not let Carolina – no, I can't talk myself into it. I think the Panthers, it's going to be a coronation, guys. I really do. I think the Carolina Panthers are going to jump out ahead again and have a big win. It won't be close. And Peyton Manning's career ends with another Super Bowl blowout. That's my initial thoughts on the game. I think this is the Panthers' year.
All right, no one has to listen to the next five shows.
Yeah, I know.
It's all been revealed. I am annoyed at the Falcons more than anything, that they robbed us from a great story of the Panthers being undefeated going into this game. Wouldn't that just be – I just would be
Who
so
did?
Much –
The Falcons, right?
Yeah, the Falcons. I would be so much more – I'm excited for this game on a
You're
matchup
so right.
type of level. You know, I'm not because the Patriots aren't in it, but there are great storylines. But, man, it would be cool if they were undefeated.
Yeah, for the Panthers to undress the Seahawks and Cardinals like they just did, that's extremely impressive to me. I think they should be heavily favored in this game. And then
it's not a home game, though.
But look at the quarterbacks. One guy is so dynamic, he's taking over games, and the other guy, you have to hide him.
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks in a row, Carolina's jumped out to a big lead, and there's no reason to think they couldn't jump out to a quick lead again against a team like Denver. That
well,
is
Denver's
when I get
defense would be the reason. If
sure, they,
have to,
they need
sure.
a close game.
They
if
do.
It's a shootout, yeah, they're in trouble.
That's the thing. I mean, if this follows the script of the last couple of wins for the Panthers, then you'd have a hard time imagining Denver's offense mining their way back into that thing. They've got to play them the same way they did New England, which is get to Cam Newton and lay a hurt on him. Not easy to do. This is not New England's offensive line.
Well, it's such a different matchup, but if we believe that the Broncos' defense has the special qualities to come up with one great game plan, and Wade Phillips had a great tweet after the game. Last year I was out of work, and now I'm heading to the Super Bowl. You know, if one reason why I had some confidence in the Patriots, if they had made the Super Bowl, you always give Bill Belichick a chance with a couple of weeks. But I think maybe you got to give Wade Phillips a chance with a couple
of
weeks.
Not a bum.
And all of those players at all three levels of the defense to come up with something that can slow down this incredible Panthers attack.
It will be a fun game either way, because you have the Panthers, a potentially all-time type team, and then on the other side you have just the drama that we'll have building for 2 weeks, what could be Peyton Manning's final game ever. Just the idea, if they did pull off the upset, because I think a lot of people are going to pick the Panthers, that he has a chance, like we said, to do the Elway. I mean, it could be going out as a champion. That would be if you're into like who's the greatest quarterback ever. I think Brady definitely surged ahead based on last year. But if Manning can win a Super Bowl, that's great for the resume. What a build on that is. Get into it. Come on, Greg.
I think they go, this one's for Pat Bowlen, not there. If they're gonna do it,
this one's also for John. I like that.
I think Dan's scenario is far more attractive.
Yeah.
It's also very strange and bizarre, and I like it.
I think we've said it all. Oh, by the way, the one last thing. When I knew that the Panthers, had the game in hand, and the crowd was getting more and more wild, and you knew it was a total celebration when they came back from commercial on Fox, and this is what we heard. Crowd going nuts because they're rude. Great job by the people at the stadium in Charlotte. What is it, Wes?
What?
The Panther Stadium?
M&T Bank Stadium? I don't know.
Bank of America.
Bank of America. Come on, Wes.
It's a Ravens Stadium.
I mix up my banks.
The crowd going nuts. Never mix it up with Scott Trade. Crowd going nuts. Sandstorm's playing. Gotta love it. So, I just love when Sandstorm
good
gets
for Carolina. Congratulations.
Yeah. That's it for the Sunday night edition of the Around the NFL podcast. We'll be back on Tuesday. Full week of shows. No football, but full week of shows. And then we head to San Francisco. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and B-Mac behind the glass. Till Tuesday.
Hi and hello, football fans. Your old pal Dave Damashek here. Make sure you check out the Dave Damashek football program. You can watch it on YouTube, NFL.com. You can listen to it on iTunes or Stitcher or NFL.com/podcasts. We look at the world of pro football and the game called life.